Your Eminence, Your Grace, brothers in Christ, it is truly a joy to be here with you, to be part of this time of fellowship, of reflection, and hopefully to walk together for a period of time. It has been already meaningful for me to be here. I learned today that the evangelical group that was part of the Campus Crusade community celebrated their 28th anniversary on the day. The Sunday of the Prodigal Son, on the day liturgically all aligned, very meaningful. To connect with classmates, to connect with others that I've walked with for a time. And I too would like to begin with sharing a brief story of meeting His Eminence when he came to St. Ticon's last year. He came to visit us in January as the new semester was getting underway. We asked and he said that he would bless our main building with all of our classrooms and office space. And then at lunchtime he shared about his own seminary time that I just wish we would have recorded. I'm sure I will not get all of it in order, but he shared having gone to seminary as a very young man, as a boy, as a teenager, going to seminary, struggling with the arrangements for room and board, trying to get through the classes, all the rigors that were a part of that program, writing home saying, I can't stay here, I have to leave. And his parents saying to him, stay and follow the course. And it was such a powerful witness that I wish all of our seminarians could hear that as they too are going through the struggles of seminary life that I am again getting reacquainted with in the role that I have taken on. And so we thank you for sharing that part of your journey with our seminarians last year. And also it has been a meaningful part of the journey so far of a year and a half at St. Ticon's to have such close interaction with Bishop Michael as a rector. I have been a parish priest for a number of years, and as all of you do, welcome your hierarch when he comes to visit your parish. And every once in a while, when things come up, you have an opportunity to talk. But we are interacting on a very regular basis. And so as we get into our topic area, I hope to reflect well some of the dynamics of a living relationship among the clergy, between the priests and their bishop, hierarch, their father in Christ. I also am sharing a little, you all know where this is from, someone that I've known for a long time and got reacquainted with here. It's a Prospera stamp, and we received a stamp from Father George this evening, reminding me of the whole Prospera baking part of our ministry, of baking the bread that is broken in the liturgy. The fact that we are stamped just as the bread is with the stamp of Christ, that we hold that portion. And I witnessed His Eminence ordaining one of our students and for the first time saw putting the lamb in the hand, so that there was an organic connection. You spoke of it, an organic connection with that portion of the body of Christ that is entrusted to our care. And so a wonderful reminder for us that we are to be about this. Before introducing the topic that I will be covering as a part of this time together, I would like to share a story that I think will lay the groundwork for that. It's a story of a woman named Frida. I was visiting a parish one Sunday serving for a priest who was away on vacation, celebrated the liturgy, and everything went very well. And during coffee hour, a woman approached me, who I didn't know, but she began to tell me her story. She said, "My name's Frida. I'm the youngest of my sisters. And when I was born, my father said he wanted a son, and he had a name picked out, Theodore. And so when I was born as a woman, he called me Frida instead, Theodora. So she gave me her real name." And she went on to tell me her story. She said, "You know, my father was the choir director of the parish, and I'm not the brightest of my sisters." She had a little bit of psychiatric illness, but she shopped. She walked to the store to shop for her sisters every day. And so she's sharing the story of growing up in a family, knowing that she was wanted to have been a boy, knew that she didn't have the skills that her sister had, but did her best to be a member of the family and care for them. So as she was telling this story, she had a bag with her. And in the bag were four of those little colored Russian cups, if you've ever seen them. They're kind of painted around the outside. They're a little heavier than paper mache, but not much. So she had four of those in her bag. And she pulled one of the cups out of the bag to give to me. And I said, "Frida, you have four cups in your bag, and you have three sisters. There's one for each of you." But she insisted, "I want you to have this." And so I accepted that cup. A little while later, after she finished telling the story, she with her sister left and drove home. And about 20 minutes later, somebody came back to the church basement and said, "There's been an accident." Frida's sister, who was driving them home from the church, had hit a tree. And the sister who was driving was with a seatbelt and an airbag. Frida was in the passenger seat. She survived the accident, but now was hospitalized. So I put on my other hat, my chaplain hat, and I went to the hospital to go see Frida, who was now being treated for serious injuries. She didn't have her seatbelt on, and there was no airbag. All afternoon, they tried to save Frida. I made my only trip ever into the operating room, asked to anoint her at one point, because they continued to give her blood. They were trying to stabilize all the places where she was bleeding from, and they didn't think that they were going to be successful. A nephew and a niece came sometime in the afternoon, and we talked about advanced directives. And by the early evening, the hospital staff came to the nephew and niece that were now there and said, "Well, we have two choices. We have exhausted the blood supply of the hospital, so we could airlift additional blood in, or we could let her go." And so Frida passed away that night. I went with the doctor to tell her sister, who was pretty drugged out from her own treatment from the accident, to tell her that her sister had died. And it was only then I went back out to my car and I saw that cup. Frida had given and entrusted her cup of life to me. And what was most amazing about all of it is that God prepared the path for Frida to end of life. She had told me her story. She had told me her real name. The priest was still away, and I wound up celebrating the funeral service. But God had prepared the way for this woman to go home. It remains to date one of the most profound pastoral encounters that I ever had with someone that I barely knew. But in it, in the story, are also some of the kernels that we're going to be looking at during the coming days. The role of our family in ministry, in her case, struggling with being part of a family with a well-known father and yet seeing herself being behind her siblings, trying to live with that, trying to find a meaningful way to live her life with that. So, talking about our families and the role that our families play in our ministry, both our own families and our family of origins. And then the role of the priest with the parish. And in so many instances that I've experienced over the years, and I'm sure you have, and we welcome you sharing encounters of this kind, where we're affirmed in showing up. It's not always what we say or what we do, but it's that we show up. We're there. We're present in the moment when God needs head, heart, and hands and soul to be present. We show up. We try to be present. So we're going to be looking at the role of the priest in ministry in the church family through a different sort of readings of some scriptural texts to help us, again, as Bishop Michael said, reground ourselves in our pastoral role. Because we get weighed down by so many things, the cares of our family, the cares of our ministry, all the pressures that are surrounding us that just seem to increase. So we need to be reaffirmed in our pastoral role once again and over again so that we stay the course that has been given to us. And finally, we'll be looking at the relationship between priest and bishop. A relationship that is already evident to me, very clearly present here. A loving relationship, a pastoral relationship. So we're going to look at that alongside the exploration of the writings of the fathers. And so we look forward to this journey, and as Bishop Michael indicated, I will say also, I will have some material to present, but as a CPE supervisor, my ministry and journey has been to walk with those who are in the midst of their ministry and to help illumine, reflect on, learn from those encounters. And so although I'm coming home in a way back to seminary after ministry between church and world for a number of years, in a way also trying to find that balance between being present in the classroom and this just special journey of clinical training, of journeying with those who are in ministry that has been just so fulfilling and so rewarding. So I hope we'll have an opportunity to explore some vignettes that you also will be bringing as we're looking at each of these three areas. So I look forward to our time together. I give thanks that you have an opportunity to come together like this. We have in Connecticut Deanery, where I spent most of my ministry time, our deanery tried to get together on an annual basis, but I don't know that as a diocese we've ever planned a several-day time together like this. This is just an awesome opportunity, and I'm very, very pleased to be a small part of it. So I look forward likewise to our time together in the coming days.